Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to join us. We're in Acts chapter 12. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19.
Now about that season, Herod the king put forth his hands to harm certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. And those were the days of the unleavened loaves. And when he had taken him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And when Herod was about to bring him forth, on that night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards before the doors kept the prison. And lo, the Lord's angel stood by him, and a light shined in the cell. And he smote Peter on the side and awoke him, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And he did so. And he said unto him, Cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed. And he knew not that what was done through the angel was true, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went on through one street, and straightway the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know truly that the Lord has sent forth his angel and delivered me out of Herod's hand and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, surnamed Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a maid came to answer, Rhoda by name. And when she recognized the voice of Peter, she opened not the gate for joy, but ran in and reported that Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she was confidently affirming it to be so, and they said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But he, beckoning with the hand to be silent, rehearsed to them how the Lord had brought him forth out of the prison. And he said, Report these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, no small stir was among the soldiers, what has become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the guards and commanded that they be led away to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and tarried there.
There's two Jameses, by the way. One's passed away. And so there's 11 apostles now. But here's another James. Is this Jesus' brother? I wonder if it is. And it could be the one that wrote the book of James. Also, this angel of the Lord said, Follow me. Could that be? What do you think, Steve?
Well, that sounds like another Jesus comment.
So. Yeah.
Well, he doubles up on it because he said he rehearsed to them how the Lord had brought him forth.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, he doubled it there.
I had a really strong sense that it's actually the Lord. So even though the Holy Spirit is in man, you can still see where Jesus still has his hands in all this. Anything else stand out to you? And then there's a John surnamed Mark comes up now. And also a maid named Rhoda. Why is that written in the scriptures? You know, sometimes these little tender things.
And she's here like, Rhoda? Okay, yeah, Rhoda.
How people, it shows you really what you're going to see with your own eyes, that some things will be so exciting. You'll forget to do the natural things because something.
All the people have been praying about him getting out of prison. And then she comes and goes, he's at the door, and they don't believe her.
But she's so excited, she forgets to let him in.
Okay, she runs away.
But isn't this telling us really what happens with people in our excitement?
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing about God. He still keeps us very human and touchable.
Now, this is the first time it says about if guards don't do what they're going to do, they get examined. They led them away to death.
Yeah.
Peter got loose.
Yeah. It caused the death of a couple of prison guards. That day could come again. I think we're coming to a different world. I've noticed some political parties are very mean.
Vicious.
Yeah. And it's starting to show up in America, too. There's a viciousness even about politics. And not just one party. It could even be both of them, and maybe even one's appearing to be nicey-nice, and they're really vicious. Throwing people in jail, killing people, hiring people to kill people, and so on. I think it's happened more than once in America. You know, they never really broadcast that too far. They say it's like this one person or that person, but we don't really know the bottom line, and how much do we trust the news media? I might get in trouble for that one. You might read about me in here. But it's kind of funny. A lot of this is ringing a bell today more than ever before. I don't hear anybody amening what I said. I'm on my own.
No, you're not. Amen.
No, I'm just teasing you. Well, we'll be buddies in prison, Andy.
Okay. I was just listening to you, Gord.
Yeah. He's just saying that. He's just put me in jail, not Andy. Okay, 20 through 20. Oh, just finish it, I would say.
Just finish it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now he was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, and they came with one accord unto him, and having persuaded Blastus, the chamberlain of the king, they asked for peace, because their country was fed from the royal country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel and sat on the throne and made an oration unto them. And the people shouted, God's voice and not man's. And immediately the Lord's angel smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and expired. But the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned when they had fulfilled their ministration, Jerusalemward, having taken along John, surnamed Mark.
There's that John, surnamed Mark again. There's going to be a little fight here coming up between Paul and Barnabas. We're going to read about that next. But the word, the logos, we like to call it logo for us because English-speaking logo just really rings a bell, which it is, the image. And this is exactly, it's found four times in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the logos, L-O-G-O-S, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, and then the fourth time is found in the next context where it says, all things were made by this Logos, the image of God, the exact representation of God the Father. His name is Jesus. In the beginning was the Logos. He was with God, and he was God. And so now the word about Jesus' image. And usually when it's the image of Jesus, which tells you about what's Jesus' heart and mind, is the Greek word logon, logon. And that's the foundation principles, and it begins with repentance. And it's interesting to see that all of this is so that man will change his direction and return back to God, is the Old Testament version, shub, return. The New Testament is change your mind. And that's really hard for some people. You know that? Mm-hmm. And that's the first step before faith. It talks about having faith. These people had faith. And you know from the scriptures that to get faith, it begins with repentance. But it doesn't say it. There was a song that was sung here earlier in another episode, and it talks about what happens to people because they had faith. But that song was several put together. But if you go back and look at all the places where you see a person believing, it comes after we repent and turn to God. Then another place it says this faith is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God that lest any man should boast. And so it took the death and the blood and the resurrection for our salvation, for our spirit, soul, and body. God gave us that. He gave us a gift that was no man could do because there was not the perfect lamb. That lamb without spot or blemish, that had to be Jesus, and he died for us. What's our step? It's God, and then we do something, and that step is we repent, return to God by changing our minds. If you put the Old and the New Testament together, it's a really neat big picture. Then God gives us faith. This faith not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. And this faith is not of yourself. It's not out of yourself. It's impossible for you to change your mind and, you know, drum yourself up and so on. That's called emotions and they die. But to have this faith to be saved, that can only come from God. This faith not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And then we have to arise and do something. Why tarriest thou? Arise, and we're to do something. There are actually seven steps of salvation, and God is always right there in the middle. God did something, we're to do something, then God, as a result of that, it's like those stair steps. I'd say God is like the riser on a stairs, and we walk on that step and fulfill it, do, and then God raises again. I think this step is an impossibility to get to the next height. It has to be done with power, on a thin. And then we fulfill the next. We walk on that step like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like repentance, faith, baptism, the doctrine of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And those things, some of those God does, and some we are absolutely required to do in between. The changing of the mind, God can't change my mind. I have to do that to begin with, make it simple. Okay, anything we left out of there? How about Herod getting eaten with worms? What was his problem? What would you?
Pride.
Pride got him eaten by worms. He gave this excellent oration, and the people shouted God's voice and not man's, and immediately the Lord's angel smote him because he didn't give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms. That had to be a very painful thing, I would think, to be eaten up right there. So now it talks about, and Barnabas and Saul returned. So this is going to focus on them, not Peter, John, one James, because he died. But it's not going to focus on these men. It's going to focus on Barnabas and Saul. 13, 1 through 3.
Now the church that was in Antioch were prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manane, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me then, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
So you guys were talking about Barnabas. What did you find out?
Well, earlier on in chapter 11, it gave some more attributes to Barnabas. In verse 23, it says, they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who when he came and saw the grace of God was glad. He exhorted all to cleave unto the purpose of their heart in the Lord. And it says, because he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith.
What verse is that, Steve, again?
Yeah, that was in Acts 11, 23 and 24. So he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a large crowd was added to the Lord.
Wasn't there something else, though, about his generosity?
Oh, out in...
That started back in Acts chapter 4 or 5.
Yeah, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of exhortation, a Levite, Cyprian by race, having a field, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the feet of the apostles. So that was the kind of man he was.
Tells you some more, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed like a solid, not a hothead. He seemed like a solid, very reasonable man. Careful. I like the word careful man.
Yeah, especially with the way he handled Paul later on when the disciples didn't believe that Paul had been converted. It was because Barnabas was right next to him that they trusted what he had to say.
And that's in Acts 9:27-6. And it says, "And when he was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples." This is Paul. "And all were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took and brought him unto the apostles and rehearsed to them how he had seen the Lord on the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how Damascus, what he had done boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was going with them in and going out at Jerusalem, doing boldly in the name of the Lord." And so here's Barnabas right with him, supporting him and showing his validity to the apostles.
Well, also here, this happens in Antioch, and it says there was at Antioch prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch. Interesting. And Saul. So these are teachers and prophets. They're considered teachers and prophets also. So that's, if you want to know Barnabas's ministry, and one apostle, one of the original of the 12, is dead now, James. So if you look in this group, you can see all of them except for James is missing. But now Barnabas is going to team up with Saul because God, the Holy Spirit said, separate them for the work. And they laid hands, they prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away. Do you see that today in your church? I mean, you might ask yourself, if you go to a fellowship and you don't see those kind of things happening, the laying on of hands, it's a common occurrence in the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit being part of your fellowship is common, and him speaking and telling you to do things. And they were told to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work, and they were sent away. And we're going to be reading about them too. It's not going to always center on Peter. But I tell you an interesting thing about Peter. Even though Peter got disciplined immediately after he received the keys to the kingdom, he's also the one that spoke up and gave out the keys to the kingdom in Acts 2:38 when he told everybody to repent, change your mind, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Peter wrote the book of 1 and 2 Peter. What do you guys, if you read that, do you see a whole different Peter talking?
Mm-hmm. He was the old Peter talking there.
I saw none of the old Peter.
No, it was somebody that was...
Didn't sound the same at all.
It sounded like either the Holy Spirit or Jesus talking, to be very honest with you.
It's very powerful.
It's a very powerful book, yeah. 1 and 2 Peter. Mm-hmm. You can really see it. It's like, where did Peter go?
Oh, he spoke with authority. And I remember reading about Jesus would speak and people would be amazed. And, you know, he speaks about these things with authority.
It's one of my favorite books. And he is a totally different person. It sounds like the Holy Spirit.
And wasn't it earlier in Acts where it was noted about him where he was uneducated and untrained?
Mm-hmm. He's just one of those fisherman guys.
Yeah. That was the guy that...
In the letters.
The temple that he stood up. Who are these people? Now, it's interesting in chapter 13 to when they make, you know, when you make a list of people, you would think, does it have a certain order to it? Is it a certain importance? And maybe the first names are more important or however it goes. But this list is interesting. Paul in the church at Antioch that were prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Simeon called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother, a foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. He's the last in the list there. He's put right there. And as they ministered to the Lord, this is all of them now, fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate for me
Barnabas, who's the first person on the list, and Saul, who's the last person on the list, so much for a list, and because they worked together because I called them.
And he's not always called Saul. He's called Paul in later on.
Well, not too much further.
Twice. Both of his names are given later, but we won't go any further because it's not read yet. But that is interesting. Okay, 4-5.
They therefore, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John as attendant.
I wonder if that's James's brother, John.
John, surnamed Mark.
Oh, this is the John Mark.
It's up there in the 25th verse of the last chapter. He was with them and went back to Jerusalem.
Oh, that's right. Look
and
at
that. That's how that's sitting there. And yeah. Now he wasn't talked about, and now all of a sudden John, his attendant, pops up, and it's not giving you a surnamed Mark.
Right. Good catch. Okay. And all because it just says John, but he's in this same subject. This is a continuation of chapter 12. And by the way, the word they were proclaiming was repentance away from dead works, faith on God, the doctrine of baptisms, more than one, the baptism in the cloud, 1 Corinthians 10:1-2. They're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and then in one spirit were baptized into one body. There are baptisms. It's not just one. And it's interesting, and there's three. Can you see that in the three rooms in the temple, in us getting closer and closer to God? I can see that exactly in the temple, in the outer court, in the cloud and in the sea, and then in one spirit into one body in the holy place. And that picture is beautifully painted in Hebrews chapters 8-9, and it's beautifully painted in chapter 25 in Exodus, and for quite a few chapters.
Chapters,
a bunch of chapters in detail. But there in Exodus, it starts in the holiest of holies and the Ark of the Covenant, that being God's throne, starts with God, where God is seated, because God is the proton. He is the first. Everything revolves around God. And so that's where it starts the discussion of that. Starting in verse 6, we're still in 13, Acts 13, 6-12.
And having gone through the whole island unto Patmos, they found a certain man, a sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding. He called unto him Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name interpreted, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his eyes on him and said, O devil's son, full of all guile and all villainy, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, lo, the Lord's hand is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately a mist fell on him and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord.
There's that word immediately again.
Now it's interesting what Paul asked for. He asked for the same thing that happened to him.
That he couldn't see.
You'll not see the sun for a season. He had it 3 days. And here he just asked this, and bam, happens to this guy.
And what was being fought? The foundations of Christ. It's our salvation. If we know what Christ stands, you cannot know salvation without knowing Christ. It's like being married without knowing your wife. People can live together in the same house, and if you hate each other and fight all the time, that's not marriage. He made them to be one flesh, and he made us to be one. It's not good for a man to be alone, but marriage requires us to be one. So anyway, this is what gets fought, is the image of Christ, to understand his heart and his mind. This is the one thing that we have noticed about the Bible, that it is both to be read, but also to be sung, and especially being sung, you find like an onion, you take off one layer, there's another layer underneath, and another layer, and another layer. And the Bible, the Jews know there are 40 layers to the Bible, but we think there's actually more. It might be a lot more. And this is Romans 14:17.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Is acceptable to God and approved of men. Is acceptable to God and approved by man. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Now that was Romans 14:17, 18, and 19, but we're going to do 17 again and the Spanish version of it.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Gozo y paz y justicia en el Espíritu Santo.
Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.